The News and Public Affairs Department of the Gordon Broadcasting Company presents Viewpoints, a program dedicated to the establishment of a better understanding between members of San Diego's white and Negro communities, and featuring the spontaneous, unrehearsed opinions and comments of San Diegans of all races. This program is presented each week at this time by KSDO Radio in the belief that only through a meaningful exchange of viewpoints can we dispel the unfortunate misunderstandings that too often exist between people of different religious and racial backgrounds. Your hosts on Viewpoints are the Reverend E. Major Shavers and Mr. Harold Brown, who appear as interested members of the Negro community. They invite your telephone comments and questions. The number to call is 234-8361. That's 234-8361. Now, your Viewpoints announcer, Reed Carroll.
Good evening. We're going to vary from our format a little bit this evening. We won't have the usual opening statements. We have some guests with us this evening. First, I'll have the brief biographies of your two co-hosts. The Reverend E. Major Shavers, minister of the Christian Fellowship Community Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ. He's the past president of the San Diego chapter of the NAACP and is well known in San Diego for his sincere interest in freedom and justice for his race. Reverend Shavers believes in the implementation of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights as a means of achieving the American dream for all of our citizens. He is presently the moderator of the San Diego County Association of the United Church of Christ. His co-host, Mr. Harold K. Brown, is a school teacher in his sixth year with the San Diego Unified School District, a former civil rights activist who served as core regional chairman and as local chairman for the San Diego chapter. Mr. Brown is now a member of the Economic Opportunity Commission, a director of the Self-Help Through Leadership Training Group, and is presently on leave of absence from teaching. Now, your co-host for Viewpoint.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we have, as our first guest on Viewpoint, two persons from the Mexican-American community. They shall express their views on various subjects dealing with the racial situation in this country. However, the views they express are their own personal views and in no way intend to represent the views of all Mexicans. We have two guests this evening. However, one has not managed to reach the studio as yet. But our guest this evening, who is here with us, is Mrs. Marta Schlatter, who is assistant professor at San Diego State College. She is the field supervisor at Family Service Southeast Branch. Good evening, Mrs. Schlatter, and welcome to Viewpoint. And as our first guest this evening, we're going to ask you to say a few words to our listening audience.
Thank you, Hal. I have a few statements here to make. First of all, that I feel that this discrimination directed against the Mexican is not so overt as the discrimination that the Negro finds. And again, I think that we were talking about degrees. However, the depth of the exploitation practiced against the Mexican is far greater. The facts are that 76% of the Mexican adult population in California is employed in unskilled occupations. Also, that the Mexicans are 2 years behind the Negro in scholastic achievement and 4 years behind the non-minority citizens of the state. In Texas, for example, in 1960, the USN Census stated that any adult 17 years of age or older have an average education of 4.7 years of schooling, while the Negro has 8.1 years, and the average white American has 10.2 years of schooling. I think that this will give you an idea of what is the discrimination, at least in the education area of the Mexican American.
Thank you, Mrs. Schlatter. Our other guest who has not arrived as yet is Mr. Ruben Dominguez. Mr. Dominguez is also employed under the Economic Opportunity Commission and serves as the Community Action representative and consultant. Mrs. Schlatter, would you tell us, please, where you were born?
Hell, I was born in Mexico City, in the Republic of Mexico.
And how long have you been in San Diego?
Steadily since 1960.
Would you tell us, do you agree that we are living in a racist society?
Yes, I certainly do. I feel that any society who would condone, teach and practice the superiority of one race or one ethnic group over the other definitely could be classified as a racist society.
Mrs. Slaughter, as you know, that it is commonly accepted that most white people look to the Negro community and select one particular person and try to, in their own mind, establish him as an official Negro leader. Who would you consider to be a leader in the Mexican community? Or is there anyone that would be designated as the leader for the Mexican people?
I think that perhaps this is one of the errors that the white majority makes in identifying only one leader in any community. I feel that there are no one leader in any community. There are many in different areas in any community or every community. I can think, for example, of Mr. Ruben Dominguez, who has definitely showed some leadership. Mr. Robert Peer, who has been very effective in some areas. Mr. Herbie Barra and Armando Rodriguez in the education, and Armando in the political field have definitely been considered leaders.
Before we go any further in our discussion, let me explain to the listening audience that we will devote the second half of this program to telephone calls. So we do want them to call in and ask you questions, Mrs. Schlatter, and also they may direct questions, as usual, to Reverend Shavers and myself. What does black power mean to you, Mrs. Schlatter?
It means the power, the economic or the political power that could be achieved if the Negro acted unitedly.
When you say the Negro acts unitedly, where does that leave Mexicans?
It leaves us on the outside. My hope is that one day we can join the Negro.
Is there any identification with black power? Do the Mexicans identify with black power by the use of the term black, or do they feel excluded?
I think that they want to feel excluded in terms of pleasing the white majority. Not that this is the best thing, but I think this is understandable, that being discriminated against is painful for anyone. So they want to prevent this as much as possible. So they want to make some kind of distinction between the Negro and the Mexican and want to identify with the white majority.
Would you agree, Mrs. Slaughter, that knowledge is power?
Indeed, I do.
Well, then, black power, white power, then would be secondary in our thinking, and at least it should be.
It should be, I think, is the, perhaps the beginning phase.
Let me remind the listening audience again to call 234-8361. And the second half of our program, we want our listening audience to direct questions to Mrs. Schlatter and to your co-host. I would like Mrs. Schlatter to answer another question for me. Why has there been relatively little involvement among Mexicans in the civil rights movement?
I think that there are several reasons. First of all, we're dealing with different groups within the Mexican community. The group that we want to reach perhaps is the newly arrived from Mexico. And I don't feel that he is acquainted with the things that he could be or he has a right to. And if you want to describe this as cultural, the Mexican is by, for many reasons, perhaps is more passive than the Negro. He doesn't reach out for the things that he wants or he thinks he can get.
Many black people feel that the Mexican is sitting back waiting for black people to cause and to effect the social revolution. And they feel that the Mexican is going to ride in or slide in on the activities of black people. How do you feel about that?
My feeling is that this has been the situation. And I think that the beginning of leadership, more active and aggressive leadership in the Mexican community, definitely has a great deal to learn from the Negro leadership.
What about leadership among Mexicans? Is there any attempt to build up the leadership in the Mexican community?
I think that now there is. We are all consciously trying to develop or to recognize some amount of leadership.
Mr. Slaughter, what are some of the problems that the Mexican people encounter as a minority group in San Diego?
First of all, the education problem. He goes into the school system more knowledgeable of Spanish than of English. The teachers immediately in the whole school system makes him feel that it is bad, that it is wrong. Therefore, he becomes very discouraged. He feels that his own language, his own culture is inferior, and that he cannot compete with the white majority. He drops out.
Ms. Schlatter, how is the Mexican defined or classified at birth? What does his birth certificate read?
Presently, it should read white. It was very interesting in discussing with Mr. Dominguez the similar question. He was born in 1938, and his birth certificate states Mexican.
States Mexican. Now, is it common practice to indicate on the birth certificate that Mexican is white?
I would think so.
What does your birth certificate read, Reverend Shavers?
Negro. Are colored.
Mm-hmm.
But I think officially, now this is the official title attached to the Negro by the white racist society. This was not the will of the Negro, however. But I would hasten to say that Negroes are as divided on the subject as they are on many others. There are some Negroes that would prefer to be Afro-Americans, and there are those that would prefer to be Negro, and there are those that would prefer to be colored people. Personally, I would prefer the term black as a black man, because I feel that I am a direct descendant from the black people of Africa.
They asked your parents when you were born if they wanted to indicate black as far as your race is concerned. Do you think that would have been permitted?
No, it would not have been permitted, and it would not be permitted today. This is the part of the system in America that's not only San Diego.
Then the system states that a Negro, or the so-called Negro, on his birth certificate, it must read Negro.
Yes.
But if a Mexican is born in this country, of Mexican ancestry, then the Mexican is indicated as being white.
Well, I think possibly Mr. Slaughter could answer this better than I. I have recognized that most Mexicans feel that there is some advantage and to be identified as white. And I would agree that there is an advantage, because if we have these stereotypes, and I truly believe that the term Negro is a stereotype or an identification, it's easily to without seeing the person, he could be an extreme mulatto that would not be distinguishable. But if the term Negro is attached, immediately the treatment is applied to him, the same as one that is ebony black.
Ms. Schlatter, before we take some calls from the listening audience, I want to ask you one more question. Do you feel that the American system is designed to separate the Mexican from the so-called Negro?
Hal, sometimes I feel they are, unfortunately. This is one of the realities that we have to accept.
This is Viewpoint, a presentation of the News, Research, and Public Affairs Division of the Gordon Broadcasting Company. The number to call to express your viewpoint, 234-8361. We invite your comment and questions on Viewpoint. Once again, that number is 234-8361. Once again, your co-hosts, the Reverend E. Major Shavers and Mr. Harold K. Brown.
I see we have a caller. And there's probably a question directed to you, Mr. Schlatter, so let's see. Viewpoint, good evening.
My name is Carmen O'Hara, and I would just like to ask either you or Mr. Dominguez as to why the Mexican-American feels that the Negro is white, because we don't look at him as a fellow Mexican, and we don't look at him as a Negro. We look at him as another white person.
Now, let me make sure that we understand your question.
Fine.
This question will be directed to Mrs. Schlatter, and you want to know why they classify the Negro as white?
Yes.
Well, I think you misunderstood. We didn't say that the Negro was classified as white. We said the Negro is classified as Negro and the Mexican is classified as white.
No. Well, I'm giving the question from the Mexican's point of view. I myself am a Mexican. And I have always looked upon Negroes as being white simply because they talk the language, the English language. And I feel more of an outcast than I see them being an outcast.
I think that I would much prefer being identified as an American, not necessarily white.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Could it be possible that you are saying that the Negro has the the Anglo know-how, he knows the language, he knows the ways, he knows the system, while the Mexican does not?
Yes.
So he is more advantaged then than we are.
In, let's say, in the plan or the way the white functions, I do think that the Negro is a lot more advanced than the Mexican.
And we do agree.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you for calling in, Ms. O'Hara, and expressing your viewpoint.
Thank you.
Good night. Good evening, Viewpoint.
Hi, you referred to, was it the system?
That's right.
The system to, on the birth certificate to say Negro or Mexican?
That's right, the system. The American system.
Oh, you mean like the white men have something to gain by saying Negro on the birth certificate?
Well, I don't know. Do you feel he has something to gain?
No, I don't. That's why I wondered why you called it a system.
Well, I call it a system because I see it as a system, which is a uniform plan.
Should that be changed?
Well, what do you think?
Well, if a person, if on the birth certificate they say Negro or white or Mexican or anything else, is it going to change how they're treated in life? Are the people going to look at this birth certificate they carry around or what? I don't see the significance of it.
Well, I think it just stands out as being symbolic of the system. If the system is a dual system, and it carries down to the point that when a child is born, you make sure that he is classified into one of those dual roles. He is either white or he is black. And you, as long as you have this dual system, then you classify him at birth.
Do you feel that this is really important in an individual's life? I mean,
Well, it's quite important in this country. It indicates that we do have a dual system. If there was no classification as to whether a person was Mexican or the so-called Negro or Caucasian, if there was no classification, we probably would not have racism.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for calling in. Good evening, Viewpoint.
Yes, good evening.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, sir, good evening. I would like to ask Mrs. Schlatter a question, if I may.
All right.
Yes?
Mrs. Schlatter, I'd like to know, do you work closely with the Mexican-American program in the Otay area?
No, I don't. I work closely with the Mexican-American in the southeast San Diego area.
I see. Are you with the Economic Opportunity Commission?
No, I am not. I'm with a private...
Affiliated with them whatsoever.
No, I am not. I'm with a private social agency.
Pardon me?
With a private social agency. Family Service Association.
I see, uh-huh.
Would you like to express your viewpoint, madam? Hello, are you still there?
I am. I was just interested. I have been listening to Mrs. Lauder, and I have been wondering if she was working closely with the Mexican-American program in the Otay area.
Well, suppose she were. What would you have to say about that?
Well, I think it's a wonderful thing because I worked with the Economic Opportunity Commission of San Diego this past January in the Medicare program. And I noticed when they did start up the program in the Otay area that it was quite well done by a lot of Mexican friends of mine that were affiliated with it, and they did a wonderful thing there, I believe.
Okay, well, thank you for calling and expressing your viewpoint.
Thank
you. Good night. Good evening, Viewpoint.
Viewpoint.
Yes.
I'm online. I'd like to make a comment. Am I online?
All right, yes. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
Speaking about the viewpoint of white or black, I believe they're both missing the boat. I believe that all they're Americans. They're either Americans of Mexican descent, they're Americans of Negro descent. It's just the disregard for the law which has brought on this faction. I would like to hear the comments from either one of them.
Mrs. Schlatter, would you direct your comments to this gentleman?
I would agree with you. If we can arrive to the point where everybody feels the same way you do, everybody is an American regardless of his ethnic background, I think that then we will be making some progress.
Now then, as an American citizen, when the Mexican people who were born in New Mexico or the state of Colorado did not have the knowledge or the education to hold down a job which required a college degree. Yet they went to work in the sugar beet field and on the railroads and made an honest living. And they were treated equal as Americans. And I believe if we follow through with the system of equality, that there would be less friction. It seems that we have a radical element in the last 2 years that has brought this here crisis, neighbor against neighbor. And we will go one step further on the birth certificates. It did not say that they were black or that they were yellow or Chinaman. The Chinaman looked to his heritage as an American citizen. And I believe if we would all be loyal Americans, go to school, get an education, and educate all people, then this here black or white or Mexican would be eradicated and we could all live in harmony as Americans.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to have your comment.
Well, I think you expressed it, and we thank you very much for calling in, sir, and expressing your viewpoint. Good night.
This is KSDO, Radio Isle 1130, and we invite your comment and questions on Viewpoint. The number to call, 234-8361. Once again, your co-host on Viewpoint.
Good evening, Viewpoint.
Hello.
Hello.
Mr. Gordon.
Mr. Gordon? No, you have the wrong program. Mr. Gordon, this is Viewpoint, and we're inviting you for your comment.
That's the number the operator gave me.
Yes. Would you like to express your viewpoint?
Pardon?
Would you like to express your viewpoint?
I can't hear you.
Would you like to express your viewpoint, madam?
Yes, I would.
Okay, go ahead.
Is this me?
Yes, are you still there?
Yes. Where is Mr. Gordon?
Well, I don't know where Mr. Gordon is, but you call again and Mr. Gordon might be there. Viewpoint, good evening.
Hello, Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to direct this this viewpoint to Mr. Slaughter.
All right.
I'm from a southeast area myself, and I'm a black man. And I'd like to ask her if she can give me one way where the black man and the Mexican can get together, because I've tried myself, and I don't think that they recognize themselves as with the black man, or even to help in the cause.
I'm very pleased to say that Mr. Dominguez is here now, and that he will be more than pleased to answer your question. He has some very specific suggestions.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ms. Slaughter. Or Mrs. Slaughter. I think I see a lot of areas for cooperation. In the first place, when we look at the results of the problems that we have, we see a lot of similarities in terms of educational problems, in terms of unemployment rates, in terms of high caseloads on welfare recipients. These are results of a society which has deprived minority groups of their equal opportunities. I think that the only way you can begin to change some of these things is by the democratic concepts, which are very prevalent in our society for the dominant groups. And number one, you might be in terms of coalitions for voting, for developing influence in city government, in state government, in national government. Number two may be in working together to improve self-help programs, such as the anti-poverty program and this type of thing. Number three may be to work together on compensatory education problems under the Elementary, Secondary, and Education Act. A variety of things where the problems are common, even though the causes for those problems may not be identical in both cases, but nevertheless, we see that the results are somewhat the same.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Good evening, Viewpoint. Good evening, Viewpoint.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes, or I'd like to give my... Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
Are you there?
We're here. Go ahead. Are you still there?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I'm giving my viewpoint on the...
Turn your radio down, madam. You're hearing the echo. We have a delayed tape broadcast. If you'll turn your radio down, you can hear us.
Oh, yes. I'd like to give my viewpoint on the classification of the Negro and the Mexican.
Okay.
And, of course, I feel as the man that spoke before that we are all American citizens. And the first thing that we should do is to love one another. And when we love one another, we will have feelings for our different races. And, of course, I've had no very bad experiences with the Mexican or the white. I've met some Mexicans that I like, some white that I like, and most of all, my color that I like. I've had bad experiences mostly with the white and the color. But I still love them on either side. And I think this is the thing that all of us are supposed to do, is to judge each person as an individual. And when we do this, we will love our neighbor, whether they're Mexican, white, or Negro.
I think we all agree here that with what you're saying. And we certainly thank you for calling in and expressing your viewpoint.
Well, sure. Thank you.
Good night. Good evening, Viewpoint.
Hi.
Hello.
I missed part of your program.
You did?
Yeah, but I feel that you're criticizing the Negroes.
We're criticizing the Negroes?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. We're criticizing the Negroes. Go ahead. Would you like to criticize
Why?
The Negro? Would you like to criticize the Negro?
No, not at all.
Would you like to criticize anybody?
No.
Okay, well, just give us your viewpoint.
Well, I think we all have the same colored blood. And why should there be such a conflict?
I don't know why there should be such a conflict, but there is.
To whom am I speaking?
And this is Mr. Brown, and I'm going to give you 10 seconds to express your viewpoint.
Pardon?
I'll give you 10 seconds to express your viewpoint. Can you do that?
Yes, I think they're human beings. I work for one. I'm pure white.
Okay, well, we certainly thank you for expressing your viewpoint, and good night. Good evening, Viewpoint. Good evening, Viewpoint. I think I lost that one. Let me try another one. Good evening, Viewpoint.
Hello, Mr. Brown.
Yes.
I would like to first say that I've listened to the program and for every week that you've been on, and I think that you and Reverend Shavers are doing a marvelous job, and I enjoy it very much.
Well, thank you.
And I would like to ask Mrs. Slaughter a question, please.
All right.
Yes, am I correct in understanding you to say that you felt that the Negro was making a distinction between himself and the Mexican-American?
I feel the Mexican is making more of a distinction at this point.
Oh, I see. And I also feel Mr. Dominguez gave several suggestions of how the Negro and the Mexican-American could join together in furthering the cause together. And I wondered if you or either he would tell me how you propose to have the Negro and the Mexican-Americans to join together, since you stated that the Mexicans were more passive and as in the past, they have not taken an active stand in civil rights. And how can this be brought about so easily?
I wish that I could give you a pat formula for that. But I think that there are many things that that make it possible now that wouldn't have made it possible, say, a year or two ago, at least in San Diego. Right now, you're getting groups that are beginning to work together and discuss possibilities of finding common goals and to examine the means to achieve these ends through your leadership training programs that are existing in the anti-poverty program, through working together on advisory committees for the various government agencies, through working together on compensatory education committees. You'll see one example of this in terms of the board of directors of the Economic Opportunity Commission, where you have, I believe it's 13 Negroes and about 13 Mexican-Americans. The chairman of the board is a Negro, and the vice chairman is a Mexican-American. Now, this is not to to indicate where the programs are only directed towards these two groups. However, it does indicate that they can work together, and that since these are two of the largest depressed minorities that we have in this area, that they should be involved in this way.
Right. And also, I would also like to know, Mrs. Slaughter stated that the Mexican-American has not been active in the civil rights struggle, and for one reason she gave was that because they were primarily interested in the newly arrived Mexican-Americans, in assimilating them and acquainting them with the American way. And I feel that, if I understood her correctly, that this is a misfortunate mistake, and that many other immigrants from other parts of the country come over immediately because of the color of their skin, they also have a language barrier, as well as the Mexican-Americans.
Yes.
But because of the whiteness of their skin, they are automatically accepted into the society. So I don't think that they go through any particular orientation courses with the their immigrants that are coming over. So I feel that this really isn't an excuse. What do you think of this?
Well, first of all, I dislike the word passive, because it indicates to me a stereotype of a Mexican sleeping under a cactus. But I think you have to look at it in terms of a cultural problem. You have a situation where many of the immigrants from Mexico are people who have worked in the fields and this type of thing. They do not carry the political sophistication that people who have lived here for any length of time. So their passiveness may be just a simply lack of what it takes to function in the American society. Also, a strict interpretation of passiveness is passiveness in terms of the American ideology, which in and itself may be some of the things that perpetuate some of the problems within minorities.
I didn't have that concept in mind when I used the term passive, and I appreciate you clarifying that and explaining the term, and thank you so much for your opinion.
Thank you for calling.
Good night.
Good night. Good evening, Viewpoint.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Garcia. That's about as Mexican as fried beans with cheese. All right. Now, I was born in California. My mother was born in California. My grandmother was born in California. And my great-grandmother was born in California. Beyond that, I do not know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, never, never, in all my years, which have number 56, have I been discriminated against or felt that I lost a job or lost an opportunity because of my origin. I've learned this, that the Mexican-American who gets out and works, who tries to educate himself, who takes advantage of his opportunities, will advance and has advanced in California. I'm speaking of California because I have not lived in Arizona, Texas, and the rest of the United States. There has been no roadblocks. Now, there are impoverished and underprivileged Mexicans, as there are Swedes, as there are Jewish, as there are Negroes, and right on down the line. But I know this, and it's a matter of record, because in your local offices in here and in Los Angeles and elsewhere in California, that the Mexican who has taken advantage of the opportunities which lie here has progressed. Now, I've been a sports announcer in this area practically for 30 years. The only time now that I don't get a job as an announcer on radio or television is because of my age. They want the little young whippersnappers, whether they have any background or not.
Do you have any Mexican young whippersnappers around here?
Huh?
Do you have any Mexican young whippersnappers who are announcers around here?
Oh, there's a few. But the point is, I don't go along with the Mexican. Now, 20 to 25 years ago, when I was writing a column for a local paper, I was very rabid on the racial subject. Now, we're going back 20, 25 years ago when you said anything favorable to for the minority, especially the Negroes, and you were classified as a red or a communist.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a series. I was very rabid on the racial subject. I'm getting old now. I've cooled down a little. But the only time that anyone tried to get my job as an announcer, when I was announcing and broadcasting the fights at the Coliseum, was a group, and some I had regarded as my close friends of Negroes, who went to the management of the Coliseum and tried to get me fired because they said I always introduced the white fighter first. Then it had never dawned on me, because it was my policy to introduce the visiting boxer first, and then the local boxer, and it had just turned out in a series of fights that the local boxer was a Negro and the visitor was white.
Well, sir, may I interrupt you at this point, because you made some strong points, and I'm going to ask Mr. Dominguez if he will react to what you have just said.
I can't hear you, sir.
Well, first of all, let me compliment Mr. Garcia for living in a area like California and not ever hearing the sting of the stereotypes. But
No, don't get me wrong. There were times when someone did belittle me because of my origin, but those were people whom I felt were more ignorant than I, who had less education, who were, shall I say, from back there, and had just been out here and hadn't quite yet learned that that out here in California we do live a different way of life than they did back in the Dust Bowl.
Well, I didn't quite understand you, because I thought that in your first comment you said that never in your life had you ever. So now I'm glad that's clarified.
That I was never discriminated or my origin held against me in my application for a job or work. And this goes, you know, when you're 56 years old, you've had to go scrounge around for a few jobs.
Right, because it's amazing that when you were growing up in California, the schools were segregated by law. In 1948, this law was declared unconstitutional in the state of California, which established.
I was raised until 1926 when we moved to San Diego. I went to school in Los Angeles and. I went to Rowan Avenue Grammar School, which at that time I think there was two or three other boys or girls of Mexican origin in the school, and that was all. Of course, now it's a complete Mexican neighborhood, but at that time we were the only family of Latin descent in that area, and neither my brothers nor I ever had any such problems.
Okay, well,
we used to take tacos or tortillas with meat and things in them to lunch, and we'd split them with the kids because they liked it.
Well, we certainly want to thank you for calling in and expressing your viewpoint.
Thank you kindly.
Thank you. Good night. We have with us tonight two persons who are Mexicans, and we are talking tonight about the problems as two persons see it from their background, which is that of being a Mexican. Earlier in the program, I asked some questions of Mrs. Schlatter. Now I'd like to have Mr. Dominguez react to a couple questions. Number one, I'd like to ask Mr. Dominguez, why has there been relatively little involvement among the Mexicans in the civil rights movement?
Well, I think it's a variety of things. Number one, many of the Mexican Americans do not see the problems as distinct in terms of the Negro, and at least in the areas where we're concentrated in the Pacific Southwest, particularly in California, the problems in terms of overt discrimination in housing may not be as prevalent. So therefore, many Mexicans have not viewed this as their struggle. So consequently, they have fallen back. However, that may be the theory, that may be the truth, according to the way they see it, but the facts are somewhat different.
All right, let's try to get in one or two more calls, and if they will be brief, maybe we can squeeze in a couple. Good evening. Viewpoint. Good evening. Viewpoint.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, go ahead. Hello, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right, would you like to express your viewpoint?
Yeah, I'd just like to ask you a few questions.
All right, who would you like to ask the questions? Who would you like to answer those questions? Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. All right, you ask your questions.
Yeah. I would like to ask a question about the dual system.
All right.
That you're talking about.
Would you turn your radio down, please? Hello, are you still there?
I think your system that you're getting to is not the proper one. Because we're being classified as Caucasian, Mongoloid or Negro, that's Mexican or white or Negro.
All right, is that your question?
Do you agree with me?
Who would you like to answer that? Mr. Dominguez or Mrs. Schlatter?
Anybody does.
Well, first of all, if I understand it, you're quarreling with classification of peoples. Well, this is something I think we have to live with. Anthropologists classify three different types of races, and among those, the Mexicans are now brought in as Caucasians.
Well, sir, this will have to be our last call, and we thank you for calling in. We're sorry we have to cut you off, but call back in next week, and maybe Reverend Shavers and I can answer that for you. We were happy that we could have as our first guests two persons who have given their views on the racial situation, Mr. Ruben Dominguez and Mrs. Marta Schlatter. We hope that the listening audience has enjoyed, as we have enjoyed having them with us. So until next week, this is Harold Brown.
E. Major Shavers.
Saying good night.
KSDO Radio, in cooperation with the News and Public Affairs Department of the Gordon Broadcasting Company, has presented Viewpoints, a program designed to promote a better understanding between people of all races through a meaningful exchange of opinion and comment. We invite you to be with us again next week at this same time. Thank you for listening.